Good morning. Good morning. I welcome you here to Heart of Mind Radio over PRN.FM. Heart of Mind Radio is a program that loves to explore the many possibilities, the many venues, the many walks of life, all the different ways that we can find that journey or that path towards our full awakening as beings on this planet. And by full awakening, I'm looking at the spiritual journey, the inner journey that leads us to an awakening of our inner power and an opening to that divine force, that life energy that comes through with divine guidance and helps us to express our lives in new and exciting ways that will allow us to recreate our personal world and collectively recreate the greater world. And in our upcoming segment, we're going to be taking a look at one of these potentials for how we can make our way through the structures, the bindings, the woundings, all of those things, the programming, all the things that we have in our life that sort of pen us in, hold us down, manipulate and control our thinking. We all have these blocks between us, our everyday consciousness, and that expanded awareness that we seek. Of course, the blocks are not so much outside of us, they're inside, and they represent our thinking, our belief systems, our fears. And as we do take our spiritual journey, we have to go through a process of addressing these issues and processing them and removing them from our energetic field, from our emotional systems, so that we can go on to be clear vessels for the awakened soul or the awakened self. So as part of this exploration, I am going to share with you an interview that I conducted with Sonia Lopez Bayona a week or so ago. And the topic of this discussion is ayahuasca. Now, this is a form of spiritual practice that is indigenous to many of the cultures in Central and South America. There are some folks here in the West or in the North, I might say, who dabble in this kind of thing, but it's really a very serious undertaking. And from the perspective of my guests, it's also a very worthwhile journey to take. So I want to present it as a way of us thinking about this and wondering if this might be something to explore or not to explore. I believe that ayahuasca and other kinds of agents can be helpful in the spiritual journey. I certainly don't think that they are necessary. I believe that we can find our path in a way of consciousness and spirituality that will lead us in the same process, perhaps a slightly different process. And following the interview, I'll be sharing more of those ways that we can channel this journey of evolution, self-evolution. But stay tuned first for our interview with Sonia.
Catherine Davis, and this is Heart of Mind. I have a very special guest joining me today, and that is Sonia Lopez Bayona. And she organizes ayahuasca retreats and cultural tours to Peru. And I thought that this would be something certainly that I'm interested in, and hopefully those of you who are tuned in today would also have some interest in learning more about ayahuasca. Now, ayahuasca is an herbal treatment or an herbal supplement or an herbal drink, but it has an impact on one's state of mind and their connection to their, I would say, their inner being, their soul, perhaps their fantasies. I'm not sure. So why don't you tell us a little something about ayahuasca and its cultural origins?
Thank you, Kathy. I am honored to be on your show, and I want to say to you that throughout the years, that I've learned so much from you too, and I'm really honored, and this is such a great opportunity. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Ayahuasca is an ancestral celestial nourishment. It is composed of the ayahuasca vine and the chacruna leaf. These two ingredients, these two main ingredients, are boiled together for perhaps 24 to 48 hours, and they create a tea. The tea is derived from that. And that tea is given to participants in a ceremonial context by a master shaman.
So I presume that the mixture is prepared by the shaman as well.
It's prepared by the shaman and his helpers.
And so how is this used traditionally in the culture?
Traditionally in the culture, it was given as a gift. It's a celestial gift. And it's used for helping people with illness, helping also small societies make decisions about things that they need to do, or something that may have happened, or what may be coming, things like that. It's usually about healing. It's been used mostly in a traditional healing context, always healing. In traditional societies, most of the healing is like physical, a lot of physical things that may have occurred. Not so much the psychological as in our society.
Well, yeah. They probably didn't have as many psychological challenges as we have, because their culture was clear to them. You know, there were traditional roles and perhaps a more expansive understanding of existence, so that they didn't have the same challenges, perhaps.
Right. They didn't have the same challenges. They still don't. But now a lot of things are beginning to change because of the great influx of Western culture into the Amazon and that whole region, and in all indigenous cultures where the Western influences come, has really been changing a lot of what's going on.
So that makes sense to me. So in traditional culture, is the use of ayahuasca connected to like dreaming or journeying or, you know, having visions or doing readings? How is that connected for them?
So ayahuasca is the mother plant, the master plant of all the plants. And the ayahuasca is taken by the shamans. When they begin their apprenticeship, ayahuasca selects who is to be the shaman. You may want to be, but ayahuasca really is the one who selects you and then really gives you the knowledge. So you go through an initiation process. You go through a process of learning and a consecration to be shaman. Yes, the dreaming part. So the ayahuasca really begins to cleanse you. The first thing that ayahuasca does is to cleanse you. Then the next thing that ayahuasca can do after it cleanses is to then bring you the healing. Once you begin to heal, then the next thing that the ayahuasca does is to begin to teach you. So it's like a process like that. And for the shaman, for them, they do ayahuasca, but then they go through other diets with other plants, because all of the plants are teachers in the Amazon, and so they go to different plants to learn different things. And those plants spirits become their masters, their spirit helpers become master teachers for them. And they come to them in the dreams at night and even in the day. But that's how they show them. They show them in the dreams, they show them in the ceremony. You do enter that space, that realm of conscious expanded awareness where there's no time.
Mm-hmm.
And there, a multitude of things are happening. And it's through the apprenticeship, through another master shaman, where you learn the traditional things of this celestial being that you are taking in you, and how to be with it, learn how to be with it, and learn how to learn from it also.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, have you had this experience yourself?
Yes, I've had the experience back home in Peru. Since 2010, I've been going back home and having the experience. And yeah.
So tell us what you can about it, your experience.
Everyone's experience is different. It is recommended for people who are from the West, who are so different from the culture that's there. And we have so many other issues and problems that we come with an intention. And I'm from the West, you know, too. And so I did have an intention when I first drank ayahuasca. And my intention was kind of simple. It was like I didn't have any like tumultuous things happening in my life at the time. I just kind of wanted to really understand more about spirituality. I've been all my life involved since my mother brought us into the spiritual mm-hmm. connections, but I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to understand more. I wanted to break that, you know, that barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did ask for that. But ayahuasca, how she works with you is she knows, you give her your intention, you ask for it, but she knows what it is you need. And she's the doctor, she's the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knows where to begin with you to help you. And so she first has to cleanse you, because you've got to do that part. And that can consist of some very uncomfortable things, such as a lot of purging, diarrhea, and things like that. But once you get that out, you feel so different. And you cleanse from all of the cells of your body, because the traumas and all of the issues that happen to us since we were little become housed in there, that's where they stay. And so the body carries them around, and then we become sick after many years of mm-hmm. this. So she begins to cleanse you, you know. So I did that, and not right away did I have I you know, like the understanding that I wanted. And I didn't really expect it right away. But she works with you up into 8 months to a year after you first take her. It all depends on how much you adhere to a good diet and your behavior. And it shows her, she's with you, it shows her the respect that you have for her. And so, and the respect that you have for what you are asking.
Mm-hmm.
So, 8 months later, the rug got pulled off from under my feet. I went flying up in the air. And when I fell, everything was like broken inside, right? So like I had to deal with this thing.
So you're serious? You mean you actually had a physical accident?
No, I had an emotional accident.
An emotional accident, okay.
Yeah, trauma. Yeah. So, but that was really the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't know it then. So I, having been meditating a lot, you know, and really going inside, I was able to deal with the situation, but I had to go back because, it was just too strong, and I wanted to really heal from it. And I wanted not only to heal myself, but to heal everything around me. So I went back, and I spent a lot of time in the jungle. And it was really then that the miracle really started to happen, where I began to love and trust the medicine. Mm-hmm. Love and trust the medicine. And not easy to go to the medicine. Not easy, but I love it. And so that was my story. And then while I was there, the shaman, one of the shaman that I've been working with, that have been working with me, asked me to work with him. Mm-hmm. Just in the capacity of being able to facilitate for people and translate for people and things like that. But I couldn't live there. So I said, well, why don't I bring small groups? And he said, okay. Since then, since I've been back, things have been happening so that I could see what I need to change, what I still need to change. Because ayahuasca is the process of deprogramming yourself from everything. She shows you. She brings you. She shows you the information. You begin to notice what it is that you are, who you are, how you are, and then she also leads you to the things that can guide you to help you with the knowledge that you need, mm-hmm. the guidance, if you ask for that.
Yeah. Okay. I can understand it. That sounds a lot like a deep spiritual journey. I recognize it. But I'm wondering what that looks like for you. I know that many people who think about ayahuasca and would might be attracted to it are seeking not the spiritual journey but the psychedelic experience of it. And I'm wondering if you could temper that a little bit with what is that experience really like? To me, it doesn't sound like it's that much fun. Is it not?
No. Ayahuasca, I met some people who were just trying it, you know. But ayahuasca always knows what you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she may show you the psychedelic things, but she's going to show you other things as well. She's going to show you the beautiful things, and she's going to show you the things that are not. Because it is a process of opening up to yourself inside. It is going deeper. It is that expanding of into your microcosm. She will show you that. She will show you that and what that looks like. She will also show you the macrocosm outside of you. She will show you that and what that's like, which is, you know, incredible. Traditionally, people did not go for the psychedelic experience.
Mm-hmm.
People went for the spiritual experience. People today still go for the spiritual experience. I am sure there are those who just go for the psychedelic experience. They may not see the psychedelic experience, even if that's what they're looking for. It depends on what she knows. She is the intelligence, and she is the mother. She is the celestial cosmic consciousness, and she is working in you, and she knows what you need. She does. Several decades ago, she did instruct the shaman to begin to open her up to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I think it is believed that she did that, and this all of the information I know is also from my elders, it doesn't come from me, is because of the devastation that's going on in the Amazon. It is being just devastated, raped, and the oil companies and all of these other situations that are going on, lumber companies, all of these things. And she knew that, I believe she knew that if she didn't open up to the rest of the world so that consciousness could come to the rest of the world, then that would, you know, that would not be a good thing. And from what the elders say, it is for anyone who is ready and wants to take that
journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, are there any dangers or considerations people should have if they have diabetes or heart disease, or what would be some of the cautions people should have?
Absolutely. If you have, like, liver problems, heart disease, if you're on any kind of medications, then you cannot take ayahuasca until you come off those medications. If you're on any kind of MOAIs, those are antidepressants,
mm-hmm.
or mood changers, or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, things like that. If you're on, you have to come off of them. You can go to your doctor and tell them that you want to do ayahuasca. you know, and that to help you to do that.
I don't think there are very many doctors who would help people with that endeavor, but you know, hey, maybe they will. But it's really clear though that people have to not be taking any of these drugs.
You can't be in anything, not even vitamins, antidepressants, and mood depressants. 6 weeks. You have to wash the body out of them. You have to keep them out of the body for another 6 weeks afterwards because it's in you, and it's the contraindication and can be fatal. And other medications as well, for whether it's diabetes or any kidney problems or any kind of medications, you really have to stop the medications.
Or not try this.
Right. Yeah. This may not be for you. Mm-hmm. Like that. There's another caution. It's really a caution from the elders. It really originally came from ayahuasca herself, that when she opened herself up to the world, she said that there could be some problems, that she gave a warning that, that there may be people who are taking it globally who are not shaman, not really, or they've taken ayahuasca for many years and observed shaman and then bring it with them and do the same thing, and they've taken ayahuasca many, many times, perhaps hundreds, but they're not shaman, and that could be a problem if in a session that they're doing, quote-unquote ceremony, if someone really needs some serious help and they're not prepared, well prepared through the training, through the traditional training, through the knowledge and through the consecration of becoming a true master shaman. So that is one of the other cautions.
Well, that does make sense, because I think that there are a number of people here in the West who are Westerners who do these things and even take people into the jungle and do it. Well, I don't know what their backgrounds are. You know, maybe they studied with a shaman, maybe not. But it is a caution. It is something to be concerned about, who you are dealing with in this situation. So tell me a little bit about the shaman that you're working with.
Maestro Diogenes, well, he lives... we have to go to Lima, Peru, then we have to fly into the Amazon, into Pucallpa, and then we have to take a boat ride, a canoe ride, 6 hours up the Ucayali River to get to his very remote community.
Oh, my goodness.
and he has, it's a very simple, beautiful place, no running water, no electricity, and he has been doing this for over 25 years. It began because his son got ill. His first son got very ill, and he needed his son to be cured. So he actually went to his father-in-law, who was a master, I think even beyond a master shaman. There are other levels. Mm-hmm. And so the grandfather cured the son, and the father, Master Diogenes, then said, can I study under you? So then began his apprenticeship with ayahuasca. And his wife is also a maestra. And now his son has been also studying for the last 15 years through ayahuasca and through shamanic diets, where you take, in ceremony, in an ayahuasca ceremony, you take another plant medicine, and then you go into isolation for 5-6 months, 2 months, 2 years, whatever was the decision made, and then you learn from the plant and you go into that isolation, deeper into the jungle. But Westerners, we can also do this, but we go to the sanctuary of De La Dieta Shipibo, which is Maestro Diogenes' sanctuary, and he is very happy. He's a kind, warm, loving, open, happy, compassionate, person, and so is the members of his family. They're all like that. But he's very expressive, and he is very welcoming.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So tell us something about the tours that you organize. What it is that people would be experiencing if they wanted to participate?
Well, if they're really looking to heal emotionally or from something else, this is really in a spiritual realm, healing spiritually, or if they want to understand themselves better, or if they want to release their programming, or if they want to understand more about spirituality. And ayahuasca is a fast track because you can be in therapy for 20 years and you go to ayahuasca and you can get it done in a certain amount of short time, you know. So I organize these tours of small groups to Peru 3 times a year. And people can go to the website and just register. And mm-hmm. they have to fill out a form with many, many questions because I have to make sure that it's safe for you to go.
mm-hmm. Well, that's an important question because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm thinking someone who has, you know, schizophrenia or other kinds of issues may not be good candidates for this kind of journey.
Yeah, so if you have schizophrenia, then no. And if if you are bipolar, you have to be off your medications in order to be able to go. And mm-hmm. It is your decision, but you have to be off your medications for a good amount of time. And what I do is I provide coaching for people who want to go on these journeys, but the coaching is provided before you go mm-hmm. so that you can become clear on your intention and you can become clear on other things in your life. And those things are from within you. I just kind of draw them out of you through the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm there with you through the whole process. I do not drink because I am not on my journey while you're on your journey. Mm-hmm. But I'm there to be there and help you. And I do give you also, I provide yoga and meditation before the ceremony so that you can become ready. You can mm-hmm. be ready. And then every day we also have discussions, group discussions or one-on-one discussions. And you have one-on-one consultations with the maestro, with the shaman, Johannes, also mm-hmm. because he has to know why you came, what you're there for, what mm-hmm. you want to work on. And so the way it works is that ayahuasca will meet you half the way. And you have to meet her the other half of the way. Mm-hmm. You really have to want to do this, and she has to feel that you're sincere. And I help you stay focused on why you're there,
mm-hmm.
so that you have that support.
And very good. Yeah. So give people your website and contact so that they can get in touch with you should they be want to inquire about this further.
Thank you. My website is innerjourneystravel.com. And my Gmail is innerjourneystravel@gmail.com. And you can contact me through there.
And you've been listening to the voice of Sonia Lopez Bayona. And again, her website is innerjourneystravel.com or innerjourneystravel@gmail.com. So people can make a, you know, inquire about it. Just see what it is, because it is kind of an intriguing potential that you can offer people. But like you said, people have to be very clear that this is something that they are capable of doing and really want to do, because it's not a game. It's a serious spiritual journey.
It's a serious spiritual journey, and it's not always fun, but it does get the job done.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time, so I just want to thank you so much for joining me today over Heart of Mind.
Thank you very much, Catherine. It's been my pleasure. Thank you, everyone.
You're very welcome. And again, that was Sonia Lopez Bayona. And the website is innerjourneystravel.com, or you can send an email to innerjourneystravel@gmail.com. Welcome back. You are tuned to PRN.FM on the internet, and this is Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennia. I'm Catherine Davis, the host of this program, and we just heard a segment with Sonia Lopez Bayona, and she spoke about this really interesting traditional method of spiritual transformation through the use of ayahuasca. So when we come back in a few moments from our break, we'll be speaking about some of the perhaps more tame methods to make that spiritual journey. But I'm also open if you have an experience you want to share. Perhaps you've made one of these journeys into the Amazon jungle and want to tell us about it. Or perhaps you're doing something on the ground within your own spiritual domain. It could be based on a religion. It could be based on a spiritual practice. But I would be very interested in hearing about what you are doing within your world. So the call-in number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. If you have a question or a comment or a contribution to make to today's Heart of Mind Radio, stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments after some station announcements. And welcome back. You're tuned to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, the host of this program. And I really so enjoyed having that conversation with Sonia because we were talking about something that was somewhat unfamiliar to my personal experience. I won't say absolutely unfamiliar, but somewhat unfamiliar, because I view the taking of DMT, which I think is the extract that you find in ayahuasca, you begin to enter into this state, but you have to go into that process with a sense of absolute surrender, because you are giving yourself to open up to that power that's within the plant that's going to be able to communicate with you on a much, much deeper psychological level. And it transports you out of your everyday reality or understanding, and brings you into a state that, while it's equally as real, we're not familiar with it. So I certainly find it to be a fascinating possibility, but not one that I have, I would say, thus far been able to pursue. And it's really interesting because I find a little question mark within myself saying, well, do I really have the capacity to really surrender that control? And I do believe that it's in the surrendering of control that you can really find yourself upon a journey. And that journey could be through the use of something such as the ayahuasca. But you can most definitely make your spiritual journey in the absence, without that added element to it. And that's more, I think, reflective of my experience thus far. It's much more a way of going into the self through contemplation, meditation, breath practices, and really gradually opening up the inner awareness, opening up to be able to have that communication. And I thought it was very fascinating that Sonia talked about the plant as a living being. And I do appreciate that, and I do accept that plants are living beings with a level of consciousness, and to realize that there is a very high vibrational consciousness that comes through some plants is something that I can really accept. Even when you look at some of the herbal essences that people use, and where you have a small element or a small portion of that plant extract, and you're using it maybe as an infusion and allowing it to be in the air, or you're using it in your bath water, or you're maybe using it as part of an oil, that very often these essences that come through will bring you through a barrier, will bring you through an opening and through an awakening. They can certainly help you to relax your body and ease the stress that you may be feeling either physically or emotionally. And even when you look to other kinds of remedies, such as homeopathic remedies, which basically function on the energetic, the vibrational essence that is more of an energetic transition or delivery system for the medicine, then we begin to see in this kind of gentler way that there are many kinds of things that we can use that are plant-based that can help us to ease some of the rough spots that we can find and are readily available in local grocery stores or drug stores or health food stores. There's this wonderful homeopathic rescue remedy that you can use as a stopgap when you feel that you're in some physical, emotional, spiritual crisis. It sort of calms you down and puts everything back in balance. I had offered to accept your phone calls, and should you like to call in, you can. The number is 888-874-4888. Again, that number is 888-874-4888. And I would be alerted should your phone calls come through before we reach the end of this program. But I just feel that it's important for all of us to begin to recognize that we have this partnership as beings on the planet, and that there are great powers within the natural world that can help us to transform and can help us to heal. And we see this because we are in a natural symbiosis, a natural harmony with the natural world. And this comes first and foremost through our breath and through our ability to breathe and have oxygen to breathe. It's only because of these plants transforming that carbon dioxide into oxygen and releasing it that we are even able to exist on this planet. And which is actually a good reminder of why we need to preserve the rainforests, because that's where a lot of that oxygen comes from. But also, this is comes through in our eating the plant-based material of that grows out of the ground. Our bodies are sustained and supported by the eating of foods and receiving nutrients from those foods. And even on a level of just environment and having that beauty and grace within our lives, there's nothing more magnificent than, you know, a beautifully planted garden, or even going into the wild and seeing the growth of the wild plants and the wild flowers. And there's a certain majesty and beauty within the natural world that helps to sustain and support our human journey on this planet. And so I believe that there are many, many plants that we can use in a variety of different ways to help and enhance our journey. Most important, though, I believe, is that we should not allow, or we perhaps would be mindful of the capacity to become addicted to things, addicted to substances, addicted to plants, addicted to certain kinds of supplements and vitamins. It's always good to follow through with a rhythm, and if we're going to do something, pull out of it. That's generally what I like to do. I'll take a series of vitamins for a time, excuse me, and then I pull out of it. Or I'll use a certain kinds of aromatherapies and allow it to have its impact, and I can respond to it. But then I'll walk away from it for a time and then come back to it or to something else, so that we can make this a part of that journey rather than something that we rely upon every time we find a challenge. And it's important to bring that intention to what we're doing, to our purpose for bringing these supplements or these herbal remedies into our body. We want to bring it with a sense of responsibility and a sense of intention and a willingness to go through whatever that process may be that will allow us to reach to the other side, to our full awareness, our full self-awareness. One of the ways that I work with people is through that meditation process. So, and you can do a lot with meditation to reach that inner voice. And if you, rather than thinking in terms of having this relationship with the plant itself, the ayahuasca, or whatever nutrient you might be taking. Maybe it's juicing, a regimen of juicing. Maybe it's a regimen of fasting. Whatever it is that we do to alter our state and to cleanse our body of both the physical and the psychological toxins, it's a part of a process that's going to bring us into a state of self-questioning and a state of self-examination and a state where we can begin to have a clear dialogue with the higher self, the inner being, the future self, that quantum aspect of our being that comes through our soul self. And this is something that we can do in our everyday life. It isn't necessary to take anything. It isn't necessary to, you know, go on a physical journey. You could be right in your home, in your living room, in your bedroom, and you can take yourself on your journey through that process of inner exploration, through the breathing, and with that breathing, bring your consciousness deeper into your body, and you are able to take your awareness even deeper to the point of not having I won't say connection, but not being tied to your physicalness, the physical body. As you go within yourself, it's almost as if you are passing into a very spaciousness that allows you to be almost your core essence, where you're, I would say, like floating. You feel like you're floating, but you're not floating off in the room, off in space. Your awareness has reached that core center of your being, and you are not particularly bound by the physicality, and you can feel almost like a sound. You can feel almost like being a light itself. and you can feel yourself pulsating and vibrating and humming in a way that takes you very deep into an awareness of your core self, that self, that part of you, that I am presence that exists pre and post, before and after our life stream experience. So it's the consciousness that flows into the birth process and becomes part of your physical embodiment and is birthed into the world with you, with me, with all of us. And as we go through our early life process, there's a much deeper connection. There's a much more awake and awareness of this otherworldliness that we have a connection to. And very often in children and babies, you can see them seeing things and playing things and responding to what seems to be invisible to us, but to them may be a very real experience. But at any rate, when we're in this meditation state, it allows us to tap into that core self. And this is the part of us that has an awareness that holds the memories, that understands how each experience impacted our life, impacts our body, impacts our potentials. And as you go into that deep space through meditation, you're able to have this conversation almost like being tutored, like being I won't say told, but guided. There's a guidance in that relationship. And as we go into that deep inner space, we gradually become aware of those things that we're holding on to that are something that may have occurred as a result of an emotional battering or as a result of disappointment or a result of loss. When we have these experiences in the physical world, they're like earthquakes and they reverberate through our bodies. And when we are unable to release, when we're unable to process and release that information, it gets held within our body, somewhere within our physical, spiritual, emotional body. And those things that we hold on to are the things that we need to let go of in order to progress within the world, in order to progress with our personal development as manifested, evolved beings on the planet. But this journey inward is that journey that can help us to identify those things that we want to deal with, that we want to challenge, that we want to release from our bodies. So a really interesting and worthwhile practice for you to do is to work with art. Work with art. You don't have to be an artist, but if you can get yourself a nice big piece of white paper, it could be parchment paper, something that looks and feels good for you. Get yourself some markers or maybe some watercolor paints and allow your feelings to be expressed through the colors, through the paper. So if you're feeling frustrated, what color comes through for you? And use that, and use it in a line that feels agitated. Or maybe you're feeling a sense of loss, a sense of not knowing where you're going or who you are in life. Then choose a color that resonates that for you and put it on the paper or on the parchment in a way that expresses, allow your arm to move with the expression of the feeling. And this is a way of using art to release some of these energies that are within our body that we need to release. I mean, you start by breathing, going into a nice deep breathing state, setting forth your intention to release some of these old programmings, these old blocks in energy, and then give yourself permission to release through that expression of art. Another way of releasing is through the expression of voice, by allowing yourself to sigh if you have frustration. Just really take a deep breath and just really let that sigh go. Do a few of them. Release the tension from your body. You can also use sounds. You can sing. You can tone. You can do the Om tone. And just allow these sounds and these tones to resonate through your body. And you can create tones based on the feelings that are coming through. Allow that feeling to just translate into the sound that flows through your body, that flows through your voice. And this is another way of releasing these old programmings from your body. And once you've gone through a process of releasing some of these old energies, the same process can help you to discover and recreate what was being lost and what was being held underneath. And you can begin to use both the toning to heal your body or the art to heal your body to bring positive communication. So it's a process you do in a cycle of release and renewal. And there are many, many forms that you can engage in this process, including movement, doing yoga or qigong movement, some kind of movement that's going to allow your body to stretch, breathe, release, open, and drink in the revitalizing energies that can help to transform and heal. So there are many, many ways to explore and to discover how we can transform our lives, evolve our inner selves, and really fully embody the fullness and the bringing forth the real potential of who we are as beings. And I thank you very much for joining me here on Heart of Mind Radio, because this is where we engage in that exploration. And you have an invitation to join me as well. If you have something you want to share, we can work this out ahead of time. Send an email to me at Catherine@heartofmind.org. I spell my name Katherin. Katherin. Catherine@heartofmind.org. And if you have a story you'd like to share or a practice you want to share, send an email and we will open up this dialogue so that we can be more interactive with each other. I welcome your participation. I welcome your listening to the show, and I welcome your communication through email. So I want to thank you very much for joining me today on Heart of Mind Radio. This is PRN.FM on the internet, and I invite you to join again next Friday morning at 10 a.m. for Heart of Mind Radio. Stay tuned for more exciting programming, and have a wonderful day.